Blog Talk Radio.
Darkness. I am Pam Ray. With me, as always, is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. We also have a special co-host for the night, Aphasiana, and a special guest for the night, Jeremy. We are all poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Also, make sure when you get a chance to go to Amazon and check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. Tonight is a dark humor show in celebration of Rex's March 30th birthday. Yes, this time I got it right. And April Fool's Day. So it's sure to be a fun night. However, if you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have one to two shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everyone's taste. And, of course, let me do the hellos one at a time. Hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right. What's that?
What?
I said, what's up?
Oh, not much. Did you like the song that I picked out just for you?
Whatever it was.
Well, okay. So you'll have to look it up and actually look at the lyrics, but I thought it was just so perfect for tonight. It was by the band T-Rex. The song itself was called Venus Loon. And I just thought, oh, how perfect. It's a band that Rex likes. It got the name Rex in the band, you know. And it just, I know it wasn't particularly dark, but it was just so darn catchy. And the fact that it had Loon in it and going to take my baby to the Venus Loon. I mean, I come on, it was just catchy. Anyways, I thought maybe you'd appreciate it. But I am definitely looking forward to hanging out with you, Aphasiana, Jeremy, and maybe some other cool poets. And speaking of which, Aphasiana, hi. Glad you could be here. How's it going?
Hi. I'm happy to be here, ready for the fun.
Awesome. I have to tell you, Aphasia has been on this since the beginning. As soon as I came up with this idea, I messaged her and I said, I want to have someone there to post the links and assign readers. So all that Rex has to do is sit back and relax and comment. So thank you, Aphasiana. Happy to have you here.
No problem.
And
it's always fun.
Absolutely. And, of course, I wanted to make sure Jeremy could join us. So hello, Jeremy. How's it going?
Hey, guys, happy birthday, buddy. Wouldn't miss this for the world. I've been partying for 2 weeks getting ready for this show. We got some doozies tonight. The contest was a lot of fun, and it's all out of love for you, my friend. This is going to be a fun show.
Excellent.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And he can just be thankful I didn't, like, throw him a birthday party like Kitty the Naughty Poet. That poem contest she had?
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Kitty the Naughty Poet for her birthday was actually just the day after Jeremy's. So next year in February, I believe it was February, near Valentine's Day, we have to celebrate Jeremy's birthday. But she had a contest, a birthday contest, where you had to write something really, like, throw a naughty birthday party for her, and I had plugs and rings and whips and you name it, it came out at the birthday party.
Yeah, see, that's not a birthday party for Rex. That's more like a Tuesday night.
Exactly. Well, I'm so glad you're all here, and this is definitely going to be fun. And it's great to see Eric on the board, Eric Svensson, and fill my eyes. By the way, Rex, did you see the background that Phil did with the balloons and the streamers in Late Night Poets?
I can't. Nope.
Oh, yeah, because he's on your phone screen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get this party started. Aphasiana, what do you have for us first?
Well, we have one by Rex. So, birthday boy, will you get us started with On the Loose?
All right, baby. On the Loose. The loon escaped, ran far and wide, clad all in arms with hard to hide, dipping stark, revealing his skin, slipped and fell, cutting his skin. Lailing bottom, sky would reach, cold nose hound, sniff, he creeps, rose to run, where to hide, barking hound, took his pride. For the moral of this story goes, when in the company of hounds, wear some clothes, the loon is on the loose. And gone.
Great read there, Rex. Now, what I'm actually going to do is I posted part one and part two as intro poems. So now Aphasiana is going to post part two, and we'll have you read that, and then we'll comment.
Once bitten, now shy. Balloon picked up his hound chewed bit, then decided it was time to split. In sarcasm bleeding bad, tiny little member in clutching hand had, speaking, he came across a bobby, and none too soon, on wobbly bloody legs, Balloon did swoon. The little guy fell from outstretched hand, rolled along the road, coming to rest in sand. Dirty little thing that Bobby picked up and bagged, and onto the car, the loon was dragged. Rushed to hospital, lights, sirens wailing. The loon was gasping at his failing. All he could see was his little speck and gaping wound. Did member lack? Where is it? He groaned. He got right here, mate. With some luck, maybe deny your fate. At hospital, a gurney was brought out. A nurse screamed for lack of sprouts that she should have seen down there. So Bobby thrust out the baggie, as all did stare. A loon on the leaf.
Great reads there, Rex, and I absolutely just, I think anybody who enjoys dark humor really just enjoys this Loon series of yours. It's always been a favorite of mine. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
The loon bobbited himself, huh? You know, it's been...
Yeah, the dog did vomiting.
I've been... Pam got this whole party together. She gets all the credit, but we've been partying for 2 weeks, no joke. And I've been keeping the streak of streaking as a theme and the commenting, trying to drum up more business, drum up excitement for this party. And this poem definitely has inspired a lot of the other poems we're going to read tonight. As a side note, there's something about that for me, that double O assonance, that just fits so well with the craziness of being naked. I mean, I've always loved moon, loon, soon, that ooh sound. And the theme of that and how Rex uses this and makes it all comical is perfect for dark comedy and right up my alley. I got quite a chuckle of this. It's going to be a fun night, buddy.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Great comment there, Jeremy. And Afaziana, your thoughts?
In the first one, I really liked flailing bottom skyward reached. Just the wording of that. Something about the bottom flailing and then the fact that it, like, went up. Some bottoms up. But it's just such an image there and perfect word choice. Flailing bottom. I like it. And then the second half, I really liked when they're at the hospital and it says a nurse screamed for the lack of sprout that she should have seen. The lack of sprout. What a way to say that. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Great comments. I really like, Jeremy, how you brought up that, yes, throughout this week, Jeremy has definitely been building up the excitement, coming into LNP, streaking with nothing but his orange socks on. Kudos to you for that. I really like, Faziana, how you brought up as the first one the phrase flailing bottom. The physical humor within that is really great. And I like how there's not only dark humor, it's that absolute just silliness, like that not giving a damn. There's something within the whole, like, I mean, if you told the storyline of a guy who escaped from the mental institution and got his sprout bit off by a dog, I think there's a kind of an irreverence that I just really admire in this humor. I do like in that first one how you end it as all good stories do with a moral. And as I mentioned in my comments, some morals just hurt more than others. And great title for the second one. I like the conversation at the end. Where is it? He groaned. He got right here, mate, with some luck, maybe to deny your fate. And then also where what I particularly like is how throughout them, and obviously we can't have all 14 rights read tonight because we have so much others to go through. But I like throughout these rights, how you manage to come up with so many different phrases for the male member I mean, as Faziana mentioned, the use of the word sprout. So just a great fun write, Rex, and very well done. Was there anything that you wanted to say about these writes or about your Loon series in general?
I've only got 14 up. I'm slipping. It's actually like 27, 28.
Wow. Well, you need to get some more up on the on all poetry so we can read more of them.
Yeah, some of this, it's just a continuing story from the hospital, and then another escape, and then all the trials and travails of this story, Loon's life.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I definitely would like to see more of those. All right. What do you got for us next, Faisy?
I think Jeremy should read his poem.
All right, you turkey. This is how much I care. This is my inaugural read on Late Night Poets, and it's all because of your birthday, so here you go, buddy. Cast with Wrists by Jeremy F. Shoveled a summer's worth of door-to-door choir money atop the glass sales counter at the local bait and tackle shop, with coin-counted demands for a cup full of earthworms, good ones known to squirm cool in the soil kept out back. Store owner slid the bounty glide handed to the register, mouth moving the math out with doubt-filled verification. Then, closing the transaction, he leaned in all whisper near, asking if I was old enough to fish, ready for some flopping in the raw. End poem.
I love that ending. I am so glad. You know, Jeremy, as you know, when I messaged you and invited you to join us, it was like just with that hope that you would just simply join us. And when you wrote for Rex, I was just absolutely thrilled. So very cool. I feel like this. We should be opening a bottle of champagne or something. Or with you. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple of things. A summer's worth of door-to-door choir money, well, kind of hits on that notion of being a good church-going boy. The local bait and tackle shop, well, might be a nicely entailed metaphor in that one. For a cup full of earthworms, good ones, just known as squirm, cool in the soil, kept out back. Oh, okay. Are we walking in that rain of thought? Is this a back-ended view to... I got my choir money, but there's a little bit untoward thought with that angle. Now, with the bottom end of this, the last two lines asking about old enough to fish, ready for some flopping in the raw, kind of hits back onto that notion that there's a little something else going on between this trade-off of money for worms and squirms and flopping in. Or is it really about fishing? Or is he just fishing for a little something different?
Great comment, Rex. I like that you brought up the door-to-door choir money and the idea of that good little church boy. You know, honestly, to goodness, I accidentally read that as chore, but I think that's because, you know, you just instantly connect doing chores with money. So, but yeah, once I realized that it was choir and then you made your comment, Rex, I'm like, oh, that's very cool. That makes sense. And Faziana, your thoughts?
I agree that having the choir part at the beginning does create an image of innocence, and that it's a summer's worth kind of shows that he's young, he's like working just for the summer, and it sets that tone. Local bait and tackle shop makes me think it's a small town, except then later on you realize that the bait and tackle might not actually be bait and tackle. He's fishing for something else. I liked the doubt-filled verification that his mouth is moving with the math, like trying to calculate. And then that leaning in to whisper, I could picture that over the counter, over the money, and then just kind of like that sneakiness of like, are you old enough for this? I think you build it up really well. And it's kind of subtle. Like you could read it as he's just buying worms, but there's more going on there. I just can't prove it. So well done.
I like that comment, Daisy. Now, there's more going on here. I just can't prove it. I do like the subtlety of your humor here, Jeremy. I like how you bring us in the idea of that innocence, that teenage angst, searching to know more about the not spoken about things of life. I like the bringing into the coin counted demands and mouth moving the math out with doubt filled verification. That kind of like just buildup of the anxiety of figuring out, do I have enough for this transaction? I mean, even the title, it has that nice subtle humor of cast with writs, which could be just definitely used as at least a double, if not a triple entendre. Nice like turn there at the end, asking if I was old enough to fish, ready for some flopping in the raw. I like that. I like that. Very cool. And Jeremy, did you want to say anything about your poem?
I love the comments, guys. I mean, it's just a simple poem about somebody buying some worms to go fishing. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Wonderful comments across the board.
And Betty, not a comedian.
No, that was very cool to hear you guys' insight. You guys did a wonderful job of reviewing. Thank you.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. All right. And what do we got next?
We have one by Weaver of Dreams, and there's an audio for that. So I've posted it, and I'm going to press play.
All in his socks, the loon was on the loose again, not caring how he looked at all, sans hope, sans cock, totally insane. No one would believe his plight, the loon was feeling very low. He'd lost his cock, though bizarrely, a phantom member had begun to grow. Strangely enough, this phantom penis seemed larger, thicker, a much better fit. Although he wouldn't use it, how could he? The loon decided, feck it, he would go with it.
Read and write there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. I really enjoyed this, how she took little bits and pieces of Rex's loons, right, but put her own little twist on things. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
I really like that the phantom dick, like that phantom limb kind of sensation, especially because it's like improved. It's larger, thicker, so much better of a fit. Although he wouldn't use it, he'd feel a prick. I really like that ending. That was funny.
That was. I have to agree. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with what Faisy just said, and there were some nuanced differences in the audio and what we see on the paper, and I like the revisions that we see on paper, specifically what Faisy just pointed out on Phantom Dick. I thought that was much more poignant, and it fits rhythmically rhyming with the rest of the stanza there. So I think whatever edits were done here definitely give it a little extra tang to it. In terms of the humor, it gave me a giggle. I remember when I first read it, I like now seeing Rex's what inspired this right? Was Rex's original. And see how you get in people's heads, Rex? You were the one that creates this kind of madness. No, but this was a joyous ride. I think this was one of the first entries in the contest, and it definitely inspired me to take part. So I thought it was a fun poem.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And Rex, you inspired this creation. Your thoughts?
Well, she wrote in that Phantom Dick. Funny, because later on, I forget which one, I actually refer to as Frankenstein Dick because of all the stitching. So she run off with a same kind of feel with it. And I like the use of the feel of the double thought with that one. I did something along that line too in a later piece. So this walks very much in the same vein of dry kind of brick humor, just offering up the notation and letting everybody else to dig into the thoughts that come with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're right. You're right. You can see that. I really liked this all the way through, but I did like that ending with the Phantom Dick. And then I also really liked the first stanza with Stark naked but for orange socks, the loon was on the loose again, not caring how he looked at all, sans hope, sans cock, insane. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really great using the use of the word sans, and then, you know, the kind of alliteration that fell into that line just really drew attention to, well, I mean, that word cock just really stands out in that line. Unfortunately, it's just a phantom standing out in the other line, but, no, I just great, great humor and very well done.
Well, that's another thought with that phantom. There's another thought with that phantom. You'll never see it coming.
Wow.
Easy, Rex. Wow.
Like that old joke with the Wonder Woman laying out on the roof of a tall building naked, and Superman's all up in the air drunk. He's, oh, I want some of that. He comes down, does a quickie, gets off, goes away, and breeze rustles across the deck, and I wonder what the hell that was. And the Invisible Man says, I don't know, but my ass sure hurts.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's great. All right. What do you got for us next, Phoebe?
I'm going to put you to work, Pam. Let's hear yours.
All right. Well, I was loosely inspired by the pirate you had in your contest. Yes, yes, yes. Loosely inspired. Like, I went with pirates. That's about it. And so this is my pirate poem that I am dedicating to my dear friend and co-host Rex. And it's called Squiffy Custard and Squid Ink Tea. And it goes like this. There was a pirate popped a stitch while traveling upon the sea. Then he popped even more while drinking squid ink tea. He loved to sing and pillage. He loved to lift a skirt. And as long as he'd not find custard full of warts. Some days he spun on one leg. Some days he walked on three. Some days he was too drunk to stand and aim and pee. Yo-har-har in a bottle of rum. You're ne'er too dumb unless you're too squiffy to come. So bring the crackers, bring the herring, cut the cheese and just keep steering. 13 pirates sang a song with 14 perverted verses. Not one of them remembered the words and needed did our nurses. But saints be praised and jolly more, naughty nurses like to score. Thank Neptune for the sheep that sail on the ship. For when a strumpet's now around, a pirate's sheep shall do fine tricks, so long as the pirate's gears fare quick. End poem. And Faith, now would you please comment?
Yes. Well, I'm going to jump in first, though. This is hilarious. I love that you used the pirate kind of accent thar and pillage. Like you used the way that they would talk, and you wrote it that way very clearly with your use of like the apostrophes, like Orum instead of Avram. I think that you did that really well to kind of set the scene. Where is it now? He loved to lift a skirt just as long as he'd not find custard full of warts. Yeah, you don't want custard full of warts. that was quite the image. where is it now? Unless you're too squiffy to come. I don't know why I love the way that you word things. That they can't remember the songs. But the nurses didn't care. Naughty nurses like to score. So fun. And then at the end, the line where the pirate skewers fair quick, all I could think about was Rex's comment of, you're not going to see it coming because the phantom dick. So skewer fair quick. You won't be prepared, those poor sheep. This was really funny. Well done, Pam.
Oh, thank you so much.
Rex, what did you think?
I'm going to go with, considering where she went with the last stanza, I got to go with, this was so bad.
Oh,
but let me see. Some days he spun on one leg. Some days he walked on three. Some days he was too drunk to stand and aim and pee. Yeah, boy, that does tell a tale of, don't ever piss into the wind. Well, if you're drunk, don't ever stand there and try and piss, because it's usually on yourself anyway. And I did like that like phases. That's sort of a custard full of warts. Ooh, that's a nasty image. I'm gonna have to wash that one out with soap. What else was there? In the last three lines, but when a strump is not around, a pirate sheet will do fine tricks. So long as the pirate really cares quick. Talk about sheepish in the moment. And, well, I guess you got to eat and have a little bit of fun. So if you're that bloody drunk, well, they're furry, aren't they?
Exactly. Well, you know, I had to give you a birthday poem with imagery that you would not forget too soon. So thank you, Rex.
Jeremy, would you like to comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Pam the Pirate is my... I think that Pam reading as a pirate should be our new theme, because I think she should read all poems in a pirate voice, because that was just wonderful to enjoy. I've always wanted to sing, but the pirate voice just topped it for me. When you think about, like, presenters, artists, and you talk about, like, method actors, people that, like, get totally into the spirit of what they're doing, and then they become that character. Pam, I'm constantly impressed on how far you're willing to go when you get into a theme of a poem, and you get into themes, and you get into the spirit and the effort of the poem, the heart of the poem, almost to a blushing degree, and you say things that I go, holy shit, I can't believe she just composed that and said that. There's a lot of boy locker room humor in here that is piratey that you didn't back off on. Like everyone sucked, the custard full of warts, the walking on three legs, the nurses that like to score, and then obviously the sheep, having sex with sheep there at the end. I mean, there's themes and jokes here, and I'm like, Pam really gets into the spirit of her poem and makes it genuine. And you do it on a lot of fronts, but this one, you were a pirate, my dear, and I enjoyed it 100%.
Thank you very much. All right, and what do you got for us next, Daisy?
We have one by Richard Wiseman, and we have an audio for that. Here we go.
Saturday morning, see, by Richard Wiseman. Saturday morning, none such sat waiting for a crosstown transit to Penn Station, making careful note of each rider's footwear, looking for some cheap, painless corporate shoes. He sighed loudly. What a pathetic waste of time, energy. Then he opened the notebook. My dog is in agony, can't wag her tail. But we haven't got money for a vet, so it's more Buddhist healing light and silent prayers towards Mecca. 51st Street Station lies in the hollowed-out bowels of the Citicorp building, shadowed neath its silvery illusions of light and stainless metallic clean. The station is infested with rats, matted garbage, and peeling black plastered ceilings. Antiviral drugs feasted on none such as gray matter, till his word image is reduced to a Hollywood musical. Old Mexican fiddles with his bandages, and cracked cue ball skull hidden beneath. He's pining for a song and dance number in the third act. This pockmarked blonde with leathery skirt and boots, thick brown pantyhose between them, figures as his partner. A potential rival quick rises from soft, oozing orange seat to strut her musky, yellow-toothed Jersey essence before our bandaged pre-war hero. She drapes oily brown hair over his pathetic form on pretext of spying the subway map. But he's wise to her black widowy weavings. He feigns stupidity. She coyly persists, asking if we stop at 59th Street. Si. And he's back to his bald-headed bandagings, silently picking at fresh-formed scabs. I change for the Lex Local at 59th, as the musical evaporates eastwards into cold morning mist. The Lex sings no songs, dances no jigs, just a stale, alienating silence, which is oppressively realistic, non-Hollywooded. End of poem.
Great read and write there, Richard. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Now, Richard just provided one of his dark humor writes. He didn't actually write to one of the prompts, which is absolutely fine because we enjoy dark humor of any kind. I have to say, a wonderful use of the everyday. Now, I'm going to comment on this one first because there's so much I relate to this. And while I visited New York City for a day, I never lived there. I lived in Austin, Texas, and rode the bus system there. And there is something, I love how he brings out the ugly brutality of life and then takes us into the mind of somebody who decides to ignore it all for a while and just make a musical out of their imaginations. And everybody on that bus, everybody around them becomes part of that musical. I also really like the biting sardonic humor in the idea of you can't afford a vet, so it's all prayers and light to Buddha. Old Mexican fiddles with his bandages and cracked cue ball skull hidden beneath. He's pining for a song and dance number, the third act. Pockmarked blonde with leathery skirt and boots, thick brown pantyhose between them. Figures as his partner, and then the smack of reality as that veil of imagination goes sting away, and there's no dances, no jigs. There is simply that alienating silence and the oppressive reality. I thought this was extremely clever and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
It's the idea of none such, which kind of brings in the thought of that fights with the same theme as the loon, none such, nobody, just another tossed away entity. And he rolls on with that, the sort of a waiting for the cross-town transit station and looking up and seeing this great big deal Fifth Street Station, which is littered with garbage, and the black class feeling, feeling back, feeling black, it's on that notion of paint, the nastiness of it. And he goes into antiviral drugs, feast on non-conscious gray matter. So his word image is reduced to a Hollywood musical. There's a double note for that, considering he can't, the dog's got no tail, but he doesn't got money for a vet. Yet he's sitting on the antiviral drugs, coming off that black plastic ceiling. I'm thinking that the mold actually infecting his mind and body at that moment. So it's that little reverie with the old neck. And then he rolls down to the other actors within that little play. You know, the pockmark blonde, the stubborn, musty, yellow suit is the essence before our bandit's pre-war hero. Or is that give you a thought to just kind of dingy, dark, dank, and gruesome. You can pull imagery out from the subway station and offer up just what it is. And pretty bad, especially around certain places. Now, I see the back end of this. It's kind of sort of a movement in Hollywood, non-Hollywood, where it is what you actually see, as opposed to the things you've done, a good finish, a nice finish, a happy finish.
Absolutely. Great comment. Great comment there, Rex. And Afasiana, your thoughts?
I've spent a fair amount of time on public transportation, so I really appreciate this kind of exploration of the people on the transit and how sometimes you have to make up little stories about everyone to get through some long commuting. I like that if there's a focus on the rider's footwear, because there's a security guard I know who was saying that, you know, people change their clothes all the time, but their shoes tend to be something they wear the same thing every day. So you can start to recognize people by their shoes. It just makes me think about how you can tell certain things. And as I say that, I'm like, I have the rattiest, most horrible shoes ever, so I'm going to fix that. But I'm like, I am totally being judged by my shoes right now. I think that it's a nice detail, and I feel like to be in the presence of a writer, you are at risk of being put into their musical, their book, their poem, their anything, and this shows that how the artist kind of brings out something from each of the people who he's seeing, and using imagination, changing things a little bit. I like when the woman is like pretending to look at the subway map, but the way that it says it, he's wise to her black widowy weavings. the ending is quite sad that the oppressively realistic, non-Hollywooded silence that is actually there. But I like the contrast between that and the imagination musical that he makes up as he goes. This is really fun, and it brings to life that experience of being on the bus or the subway or whatever, where you're with the public and you're in a mix of people and imagining how they might interact if they were a little freer and like were in a musical.
Right. Great observations there, Faisy. Yeah, I have to agree. It really does bring out that whole idea of what we would do with people, you know, in our imaginations with us on the bus. And I like how you mentioned the shoes, and I like how you mentioned the idea that you're always in danger of becoming a part of the writer's next work that they're going, you know, there's always that poet, that artist just observing. So very cool. And Jeremy, your thoughts.
Yeah, I have a lot of the similar comments. First of all, I'd like to say that I think Richard really toned this appropriately. I mean, I felt like I was back on the bus, and I liked his performance of the poem, too. I mean, he really got into taking us there in his presentation of his work, so I really appreciated that. Yeah, I spent a summer on the bus, and I was such a little pecker when I did it that I wore headphones the whole time. But the headphones weren't plugged into anything. I just kept it in my pocket. It was so I didn't have to talk to anybody else on the bus. That's how big of a jerk I was. But I see what was going on in the imagination, and I would spend my time doing just exactly what this poem does. You find people and you create stories, and I think all of us have done that in our poetry in the past. We create these situations off of things that we see. And so the fact that he was able to take this to that tone, to that setting, I really applauded the genre of what he did and the mood of it and how he stayed true to it the whole time. And I liked how it snaps out of it when you get the sea and then you get what it becomes oppressively realistic at the end and non-Hollywood. And I thought that was a very apropos end to it all. But I think you guys have all touched on the same kind of theme of what I'm commenting on. So I agree with it and great thoughts from all of you.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, some of the people you meet on buses, like on the city buses, you learn to wear those fake earbuds, or you learn to not make eye contact, you know. Shoot, I remember one guy, I was in a conversation with him for like 15 minutes, and the next thing I know, he's like, well, you know, in order for us to live together, you're going to have to get rid of your cats, because my dogs won't like your cats. Like, dude, we've been talking for 15 minutes, and I've never met you before this. I'm not giving up my cat. But great comments, everybody.
Missed opportunity, Pam. Missed opportunity.
I know. He probably was my soulmate. I probably should have given up my cat for him. I guess we'll never know at this point. All right, Daisy, what do you got for us next?
We have one by S. Sharp. So here's the audio.
Not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry. Mary Shelley rolls in her grave, and there she screams with how Rex behaves. Frankenstein's sporting chiseled cock, the mysterious disappearance of one's infamous orange sock, bulging vein stitches, as if his poetry has been recently circumcised, with nut and bolt sticking out of his stanzas, lines chopped off, a monster lost in the rhythm and rhyme, the haze of the night, late night poet.
Excellent read and write there, S. Sharp. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. So much of this made me just laugh and smile. And Jeremy, let's start with your thoughts.
I'm excited that we can spend maybe the next 20 or 30 minutes discussing a poem that makes fun of Rex's penis. No, I got a kick out of this one. I mean, it's very well. I understood the prompt. I think it was something about Frankenstein Wiener or something like that, the prompt of this one. But I think they did a great job. I think it does it in a tasteful manner. It's all lightly ribbing, and I enjoyed it. I got a laugh out of it the first time, and it was fun to hear the presentation, too, with the enthusiasm behind the emphasis on all the words. So it was a great, fun poem. Happy birthday, buddy.
Great comment. And Faziana, your thoughts?
I love that it starts with Mary Shelley rolling in her grave. I love Mary Shelley and the original Frankenstein. So just having her being like, oh, so great. The mysterious disappearance of one's infamous orange sock at the same time as the chiseled cock. I think that I like that the alliteration there too, the chiseled cock. I like that it connects to his poetry too. His poetry has recently been circumcised, and then the stanza lines chopped, to use that as a connection there, just describing both the physical and the kind of mental Frankensteining of Rex is a really nice way of combining it. So everything is being stitched together. And the shout out to your other show, the Rhythm and Rhyme, is there, because I think that's your Sunday show. Or maybe Saturday, I get mixed up. One of the weekend shows, I like that there's the title of that show mixed in the last stanza there.
I really like that, too. I'm glad you noticed that, Phoebe. And I thought you'd like that Mary Shelley part. So, yeah, great, great comment there. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, he played this one out to the nines and did a great job of it. Mary Shelley, that was a nice touch, rolling out the thought right up front. And then the Frankenstein sporting a chisel cock, that was a nice touch there. But I did that stanza that Fazy just hit on, bulging vein stitches, as if his poetry had been recently circumcised with nut and bolt sticking out of his stanza's lines chopped off. The nice little emphasis on the off. That hit right back into the same thing with the Frankenstein I used in one of those loon pieces. And he laid this out really well. A monster lost in the rhythm and rhyme, the haze of the night. Well, that hits on both ends, the late night angle as well as the Sunday show. So I guess I'm Frankenstein now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great comment there. I really like this all the way through. I did like how he goes, Mary Shelley rolls in her grave, and the mention of the mysterious disappearance of one's infamous orange sock. I like that because it gives a nod towards the orange socks mentioned in one of your loon rites, but it also gives the idea that there's always that one sock that disappears when you do the laundry. And I really did like how he did that stanza where he says, with nuts and bolts sticking out of his stanzas, lines chopped off. The way he got shorter and shorter and then put off separately really did work well for a visual. And the nod towards rhythm and rhyme, the haze of the night, and late night poets, I thought was a really great touch. So just a wonderful smile-inducing right. Great dark humor and very well done. And what do we got next?
We have one by Diane D. And let me just find the audio for that. Pam, I need a second set of eyes. I can't find it. I thought there was an audio. Oh, here it is. Never mind.
Okay. Happy birthday, Rex. By Diane D. Came to All Poetry and found LMP shows, where poets read amazing writing and prose. Pam and Rex, I thought, were in some studio, somewhere off Broadway with a top 10 show. So I dreamt that one night I went to Broadway, and that I went to the studio day after day. So one day I went there on March 31st. What I saw next was some kind of curse. Rex had zippered up belt cinched tight. He looked at the shoes. Something's not right. He turned and he ran right off the stage. Seen 17 hours. I'm getting enraged. Where in the hell is that white-ass twit? I said, Rex, my man, are you taking the shit? Come on, dude, let's get this show started. Well, if you didn't shit, you sure as hell farted. It's filthy and wretched. Of rotten eggs did smell. Get me out of here. This is worse than any hell. Rex, screamed Pam. Get your ass in the chair. It's 12:35, and we're on the air. Rex came a-tiptoeing from out in the hall. Slipping and sliding, on his ass he did fall. A candy striper screamed, spilling her cocoa. Said, okay, he's cute, but he's pretty damn local. He jumped to his feet, said, I'll be back soon. Soon to emerge from the stinky men's room. In sparkles he ran on his feet, orange socks. He had shaved down below and colored his locks. He twirled and he swirled and winked at some chick, as if he was sporting a Frankenstein dick. Candy Striper pointed, the loon's on the loose. Now that ain't but an inch, maybe a deuce. She said, no, 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 please. This can't be real. It's way too bizarre. I'm gonna squeal. And if that thing is real, then you go see a doc, because that is too tiny to call it a cock. April Fool's, Rex. End poem.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That was great. Great read and write there. Diane, thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And Rex, let's start with your thoughts.
Oh, that was just too damn funny. And she went and took 9 prompts and had some fun. I had her own bit of fun with it. So, the stinky men's room, the candy striper. Oh my God. I've forgotten a lot of these lines, but she took them all and ran with it on a suicide mission of, whoa. Hey, what's going on here? You're supposed to be on the air, but something's not quiet.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah,
I like that
was
ending,
pretty...
too.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, I have to agree. Perfect. Just I love wonderful combination of, you know, birthday humor and April Fool's humor. And, yeah, every prompt in the contest that I put in the contest, she incorporated it into her write, and I thought that was really great. So absolutely excellent humor. Great comment, Rex.
Oh my God, it's funny because that it's filthy and wretched, of rotten eggs did smell, get me out of here, this is worse than there's any hell. I remember that theme. The loon was stuck in an elevator with a very, very old woman. I called her granny, and she let loose a ripper, and he was dying. His eyes were watering like hell, and he was banging on the door. Let me out. Let me out.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Yep. Oh, yeah, that was perfect. Yep. And Faziana, your thoughts?
I was really impressed with how many of the prompts she put in there and still made it make sense, that it all flowed together. It wasn't like choppy, like each one had its own section. It actually worked really well as one cohesive piece. I think my favorite part was you, Pam, yelling at him, get your ass in the chair. We're on the air. I've had those moments with some of my co-hosts. No, I love everyone I do shows with, but yes, I tend to be the person who's super early and other people don't show up until like the song is going and it stresses me out. So I can picture you, Pam, as someone who's super organized being like, get over here. we're alike in that manner. I like that, part where he had shaved down below and colored his locks. Oh my. the ending with the nurse's burn, that's pretty great too. And this whole thing was really funny and really suited the kind of humor that the prompts had. So I thought that she did a wonderful job.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was really, I want to echo what, mainly everything that Faisy just said. I mean, what Diane did here as a tribute to Rex was really sweet. Ever from the beginning of even having the logo of the eyeball from Rex's moniker or logo on the poem. And it's a dedication to him, and it's really sweet. It's all lighthearted, obviously. But the effort to make all of those prompts rhyme and meter correctly and work, I was amazed when I read this the first time going, wow, she really put a lot of effort, and the story, like Faisy said, makes sense to bring all of those prompts together into a cohesive narrative. I thought was really cool. And I want to be first in line to buy some of these tickets on this off-Broadway show with you two guys. I think at least have it be like the old the Today Show. I'm going to be banging against the glass saying, let me in. So I think it was a very
fun. An underground, what we call a Rexy horror show.
No, I mean, what Diane put together here was really a great composition. I was very impressed on how it all worked together. So awesome tribute.
I was too. I was very impressed. Great comments, everybody. Yeah, I like the humor in this. I like that it's a dedication to Rex, but it also burns him. You know, like any good friend. You know, we know the people we can make fun of. And the people, you know, and you just have fun with. I did like that she used Rex's dragon eye picture, but it did throw me off. I will admit, the first time I saw it, I looked in the contest. I'm like, why did Rex enter our contest? He could have just written for the show.
I did the same thing. I did the exact same thing. I said, why is Rex writing every poem that says, happy birthday, Rex?
I don't know, that wouldn't surprise me
if he he could totally be like, you know, roasting himself.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Rex would be good at roasting himself. Oh my gosh. But I like the familiar language. I like how it gives a nod to the LNP shows, late night poet shows, and you know, the how she fits in your lines, Rex, without making them forced. I did like the part where I screamed at you. That was funny. I feel like Diane's listened enough to know us both quite well. And that ending, oh my gosh, that cracked me up. But the other part that really cracked me up was a candy striper scream spilling her cocoa said, okay, he's cute, but he's pretty damn loco. I don't know, that part just really cracked me up. It was awesome. So excellent, right, Diane? Very well done. And what do we got next?
Well, it's about halfway, so it's Rex's turn to read again.
Oh, yes.
Granny got corn. The loon was crying, creating a row. The old lady harumped. Oh, what now? Listen here, you bare-arsed twit. I was enjoying myself, you miserable git. Turn around now. Don't be such a puss. I'll get you off, no longer to be a wuss. With that said, she shoved into the wall. Losing his balance, the loon started to fall. With the strength of 10, she lifted. She was rough. The look on her face said she'd had enough. She ripped her gown from shoulder to twat. The poor loon gazed at saggy boobs. What else she got? Oh, no, please. God help me. Just got it back. It ain't got to be me. She dropped her drawers, went on the attack. The poor loon tried to cover his injured tack. But she was determined. Her horniness unbound was the lips neath the hair. She wished down. He cornered the loon. She was mighty dry. Her lips spread wide for his little guy. Oh, God, it hurts. Have ye no gel? As parchment raked along his little fell. How long has it been since your bowl was dusted? I'm chafing bad. Your hole is crusted. And that said, the old girl bore down hard. Their own private flick was they who starred. Granny was getting. She was getting it good. Aroused she was. Knees flat and hood. Unbeknownst to the loon, you all will see. Granny had forgotten You need is the fee. The loon is on the loose.
Oh, great read there, Rex. I really enjoyed the way that you got into the read and did the guy's voice. Oh, God, it hurts. Have you no gel? The sergeant raced along his little fell. I'm going to go ahead and comment first. Now, you know, like I said, we couldn't obviously have all 14 read, but I did want to get in at least three. And I wanted to make sure that we had the two at the beginning and then one, I chose part number seven because that's pretty close to when Granny is, the character Granny is introduced. And I felt that was important to have you read one of the rites where we are introduced to Granny. And what I particularly like, I mean, I like this all the way through, but the mention of how she has a strength of 10 men. I mean, you just don't fuck with a horny old woman. She'll mess you up. How long has it been since your bowl was dusted? I'm chasing bad. Your hole is crusted. With that said, the old gal bore down hard. Their own private flick, 'twas they who starred. I'm pretty sure that's the movie nobody would pay to see. Oh, but you know your use of imagery to say things that are just downright naughty, but use imagery like the dusted bowl, the undusted bowl. I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, this is great humor. This is absolutely great humor and very enjoyable. And oh, that ending with the golden showers, eek! And sorry. And Jeremy, your thoughts.
Granny has got some horns. Holy shit. No, and I think I really like what you just said, Pam, because I agree 100%. I mean, there is no way, there is no way that I could write a poem with this level of crassness but carry it over with such grace. I mean, the way that Rex pitches these lines and makes it rhyme and makes it work, I mean, we're saying some downright nasty Granny getting it in this poem, but I enjoy it, and I'm not uncomfortable to talk about it because Rex pitches it in a humorous way, but also there's a poetic value to it because of the rhyme and the flow of all of it. So I can't tackle this, buddy, and the way you did is it's enjoyable. But damn, Granny, I mean, poor Loon, but I'm still cheering for Granny. I don't know what the problem with any of this is. No, what a fun poem, man. Very cool.
I have to agree with you, Jeremy. We got to give Granny a little cheer for that. I mean, she's going for what she wants. And and Afaziana, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Jeremy that it's amazing that Rex can make this, like, not disgusting. I mean, like, there are disgusting bits of it, but, like, if other people wrote this, I would probably be like, oh, and just not be able to handle it. But Rex does it in such a way that it adds class to it. It does, like, it's so well put together. And the humor and the rhyme and that's just the flow of it, that it doesn't feel as like, I don't know. I mean, it is still crude, but there's somehow like an artistry to it that just like elevates what I can't imagine would be elevated. It's sort of like recently in one of my contests, someone wrote something about peeing first thing in the morning, and it was not at all what I expected from that contest, but it was such a good poem. And I was just like, how am I enjoying a poem about someone peeing? But I really, really did. It was an amazing poem. And I'm like, that takes skill to make me be like, oh, yeah, that guy went for a pee. Like, it's just like, it's just shocking to me that some people can make, like, anything into something beautiful. And so I just, I tip my hat to you because I could not do that. I liked when she ripped her gown from shoulder to twat. Where is this part? The part where he says, "Have you no gel?" And then using parchment is perfect, as parchment raked along his little fowl. It's so creative in the way that you put that together. It's amazing that you can make this as funny as it is, because I feel like normally I would be squeamish about it, and instead I'm just, like, smiling. So you're amazing, Rex.
Thank you, Faisy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Faisy. Rex has a gift for kind of softening the crudeness. Oh, and that poem you're thinking of, it was written for Double Helix by Gerald Green. I remember that. It was a really good one. But, and I have to agree with the use of parchment, and that was absolutely perfect. So great observations there. And Rex, did you want to say anything about your poem?
It's just my go-to for some fun. Because we forget that humor doesn't have to be just straight up easy. It's meant to bend your mind in a different direction. So you do laugh or let out a guffaw, a hearty chuckle, whatever. So it's meant to be a little bit uncomfortable, but if you can drop it in such a manner that makes it easier to handle, then the humor's even better.
Absolutely. I like that. You mentioned that humor should bend the mind and make you think. Very cool. All right. What do we got for next, Faisy?
We have one by Casey Day, and there's an audio for that as well. Sorry, my computer is being super slow. It's posting, I hope. my internet is kind of glitching. Pam, can you put up the one by Casey? Sorry.
Absolutely. I'd be sure. No problem at all. I know exactly how that goes. We all know I've had internet problems more than once. All right. So, got this and get to the room and All right. We have Birthday Pursuit by Casey Day. And we do have a recording for that. So here we go.
Birthday Pursuit. This is a special poem written especially for Rex on his birthday. Happy birthday, Rex. It was a day like any other, a little chilly for an April afternoon. I'd been digging in my garden since midnight in full moon. The sun was warm on my back. I saw something shimmer in the pile. Oh my, would you look at that? An old antique nail file. I grabbed it up and smiled. What a treasure to be found. I put it in my pocket and threw my shovel down. I peered into my kitchen window. All seemed as it should be. Nothing had been disturbed. Well, nothing besides me. I headed up my creaky stairs to take a nice hot shower and heard sirens outside my door within a half an hour. I heard a knock on my front door. Who is it? I called back. It's the police. Open up. The voice came back with a crack. Just a minute, I said, and wrapped my towel around me. I opened up, fell on my butt as they proceeded to surround me. Can I help you, officers? I said a little shocked. Don't you think it's impolite? No, they said. We knocked. Your neighbors called you in. Said you'd been acting strange. Then last night, about 12 o'clock, they said they heard a bang. Is there a Mrs. present? They asked accusingly. No, she left about a year ago, I replied amusingly. We're going to have a look around, they said without a hesitation. Sure, I said and shook my head. I'll just go and clean up my workstation. You'll sit right there, said Sheriff Stan. He was a plump red fellow. He smelled of soap and cigarettes and week-old mellow yellow. Sure thing, Stan, I sat down. Ouch, something bit my rear. I shot up and cut my butt. My new old nail file reappeared. What's this, said Stan, open-handed. An old antique nail file? Yes, I said, burning red. I found it in my pile. Your pile? Asked Stan. What pile is that? The question made me squirm and say, My pile out back. I led them to my garden, where fresh dirt had been turned. The sun got hotter. I needed water. My throat, it really burned. Excuse me, man, my friend Stan. It's Sheriff to you, lad. Yes, Sheriff, would you give me a hand? I need a drink real bad. Just then the deputy shouted, We found something over here. He looked at me, I looked at him, then bolted in high gear. Stan chased me in my birthday suit. All the neighbors watched meanwhile. I tripped and fell and screamed, Oh, hell, goddamn that antique nail file.
Oh, that was great. That was a wonderful, dark, humorous tale. Great reading right there, Casey. Just a wonderful performance. Thank you for the recording. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, love the picture. I remember those days back in the 70s. And then the fact that she actually took she paid attention to the rhythm and flow and ran it the same way with her piece, but she actually took it over and made it all hers with that quote. She took, what was it? What the hell? Where the hell is that white ass clip? And turned it into something of her own creation, her own little loon storyline that she's going to run some multiple angles on and have some fun, which is the idea. You keep rolling it into something else and extending it to have a blast with it. But it went a little darker, the implication of the pile and finding an antique mail file. And then the cops coming up because you were out back digging in the yard late at night. So there's a sort of, where's the missus? Well, maybe she's in that pile, but she left it open-ended at back end. Oh, hell, goddamn, that antique nail file as an implication of, all right, what's the next part going to entail?
Right. I like that you bring that up, and that is a great picture. And you're right, like, she went a little darker with her indication, but she left it, as you said, open-ended, and, you know, that really just makes you think. So great observation there. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the humor is the fact that it's the aloofness, and even in the presentation of this poem. I mean, there's something darker going from the very first stanza. What are you doing out digging in your garden at midnight? I mean, that's not normal. Something weird is going on. But the whole time in the story of this poem, you're wondering what's going on. Did he kill his wife? Did he bury her in the backyard? Is that what he's doing? Has it been a year? Is he a thief? He's peeking into his own window from the outside. I mean, there's so many questions, but that's not really the focus of it. Really, the focus of the whole poem is, again, that aloofness for the seriousness of the situation. He's concentrating on being coy with this officer and joking around a little bit, being naked, saying maybe there might be a wife, maybe there's not, I don't know. And he's concentrating on a nail file. I mean, the fact that the focus isn't on the real issue is what makes the humor so work so well. The second point I want to make is taking a poem like this and making so much of it dialogue and work and not feel like it's a story and it's still a poem. I mean, I remember first reading this and I wasn't caught up on the fact that this was an exchange and a dialogue. I think you could take all the quotations out of the poem and it still works 100%. And I think that's an incredibly cool talent, and I think the way that Casey put that together really worked. In terms of individual lines that I really liked, I like how she describes Sheriff Stan. My favorite lines were, he smelled of soap and cigarettes
and Week Old Mellow Yellow. That was the gem for me. So very cool poem.
I have to agree, and I'm glad you brought up that how well she used the dialogue and still made this into, you know, a poem that flowed well. And the just wonderful humor. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
Well, I thought her performance of it was amazing too. I really liked the audio. She had such expression in her voice, and the way that she did the dialogue was just wonderful. I liked the kind of double meaning of the moon there, since midnight and full moon. I thought that was good.
Wailing, baby.
I know. Throwing the moon in there. I honestly, at the beginning, thought that it was going to be that he was in the wrong house, that he walked naked into the neighbor's house, and they called the police while he was in the shower. But it took some fun twists, and I like that sitting on the nail file is what gives him away. And he's just so casual about it, like, oh, you know, it's on my pile. What pile is this? Like who just has like a pile in their backyard where they find mysterious things? Oh, you know, I found this in my pile. I don't really have a pile where I dig and find old stuff like that. But like people said, it has some really great little detailed descriptions, like the smell of the man. I really like the way this whole thing came out. It had a nice flow to it. It felt so light and natural. And it's very clearly a poem, but also a story. And I really like when something can work that way. It's a story, but it still keeps like the structure and flow of a poem. I think Casey's really good at that.
She really is. She has a talent for it. So great comment there. I like that you brought up the casualness of, oh, you know, just the nail file from my pile out back. And you're right. That does the casualness of those kind of lines really adds to the humor. It was a wonderful performance. I really like that she managed to get a picture of Rex streaking. Very cool there. great lines all the way through. Wonderful allusion to darkness that just has a great humorous twist to it. So very well done. And what do we got next, Phoebe?
Well, I see that Eric is on the board. Why don't we do his? There's an audio for that.
By royal decree, ungowned river dancers, albeit orange socks gathered upon center stage. Disobedience was flatly ignored. Not even Madame's pet Michael could wiggle his tight buns out of this auspicious occasion. Queen Lizzie thundered down the red telephone tube. Your troop shall dance for Intimidus Rex, my esteemed American cousin, thrice removed. By appointment, barrels of Gordon's dry gin arrived on rehearsal day. Queen Lizzie's equerry arrived blindfolded. Braille the dancers, dear Margaret, braille their musculature, and apply enough rouge to hide your peaches and cream complexion. Yes, your majesty. Curtsy, well executed. Red's embossed invitation read, on the auspicious celebration of the commemoration of my third cousin, thrice removed, Intimidus Rex, join Riverdance as we relive his supernova entrance into planet Earth's biosphere, undisclosed years ago. Clothing optional. April Fool's Day arrived amidst hollyhock blooms' feisty festoon. Canary yellow daffodils chirped, crickets tuned their sitar wings. Queen Lizzie, unbeknownst to her followers, oft dreamt of starring in the bard's Midsummer Night's Dream beside her third cousin, thrice removed. This birthday ruse our esteemed birthday poet was totally unaware of. Thus, ungowned, albeit orange socks, river dancers on stage boldly rose to the occasion. A mercurial melange of VIP guest gasps, as a vibrant volley of orange socks pounded the floorboards of the old Vic. Kilter to the hilt is what they expected. Braille notation by Equerry Margaret identified Mark Twain, Norman MacDonald, Arthur Schopenhauer, Alexander Pope, Agatha Christie, Charles Lamb, Abraham Lincoln, Will Rogers, Edgar Allan Poe, Francis Bacon, Molière, Albert Camus, and Thomas Jefferson. Known for her practicality, Queen Lizzie instructed MI5 to block all social media appendages. Her beloved third cousin, Intimidus Rex, thrice removed only, would be feted as a Herculean pillar of American poetry society. She, H.R.H. Lizzie, would ensure that dedicated orange sock stomped poetic excellence resounded like the nimble tap dance poetry of Intimidus Rex Esquire. End celebration poems.
Oh, bravo. That one deserves clapping. That was so awesome. I really enjoyed that one. And Rex, I'm betting you enjoyed that. So let's get your thoughts.
Well, I like the picture. That's a hell of a picture there, complete with sunglasses on the dragon. I think it's really funny, too, that he dropped in some things he couldn't have known. Ungammed River Dances. I am Irish on my mother's side. And he went with the English angle with this. And I am English by birth. So rolling that in here is a double funny thought, because I know he couldn't have known it. But here he's run that angle, and he even drops in MI5. And he throws in all these angles on the bottom end. Mark Twain, Norman MacDonald, Arthur Schopenhauer, Alexander Pope, Agatha Christie, Chris Lamb, Abraham Lincoln, Will Rogers, Edgar Allan Poe, Francis Bacon, Molière, Albert Camus, and Thomas Jefferson as the Jackson. And then referring to the Queen as Lizzie. Oh, that's a nice – is that Lizzie Borden? And the thought of being thrice removed from the throne. This was actually very funny, done in a very dry angle of almost the MC or the paparazzi in the background, adding flavor to the whole scenery of what was going on. That was wonderfully done, Eric.
It was. It truly was. And it's great to hear you laugh. You know, it's funny because it is a happy accident, or maybe he did his research. I don't know, but I thought it was really, like you said, it was really cool that he had that nod towards your English and Irish heritage. But, you know, it was really fun this week to see Jeremy and Eric both popping in at times to make comments. Like Eric during the After Midnight show, when he asked Code was going to be. And I replied, casual, just make sure to wear your orange socks. And, you know, people are just having really, really fun with the lead up to this show, Rex. And so it's awesome that you've inspired that kind of joviality, or whatever you would say the word, that kind of, you know, just fun. So great comment there, Rex. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
I feel finally vindicated, because every time that we discuss one of Eric's poems on here, I always say that Eric is fucking with us. He's always got one up on us. He's always joking behind his lines, and I can blatantly prove it in this poem. I love the spirit of this. I love the spirit of this. I like that we had a SoundCloud, too, because I love the way that he pronounces Intimidus Rex with the feel of this entire poem. Just worked so beautifully well. My favorite easily is the repetition of the third cousin thrice removed. I like the majesty of this poem. And when he does the roster, which Rex alluded to earlier, I think that is such a cool group of people. Whatever I have to do, whoever I have to bribe to get a seat at that table, I'm game. But no, Eric nailed this poem. What's that?
That would be outrageous. Around and trying to hold a conversation with all these guys. Ooh.
No, I know. I can even sit in the back row. I don't care. I just want to shoot spitballs. I love it.
But I think what Eric put together here was a wonderfully themed thing. It was out of love for you, Rex, and I don't know. The SoundCloud was just perfect. So right on, Eric.
Absolutely, absolutely, great comment there. And Faizy, your thoughts?
I agree with Jeremy that I really love the repetition of the third cousin thrice removed. I just finished watching Bridgerton, which has that kind of like, you know, the royal way of making those connections. And I can picture like the Rex being like sort of part of the family, but no, we haven't decided yet because he's sort of a funny guy. So are we going to acknowledge him as part of the family? Well, you know, he's thrice removed, but we will have a party for him. I really liked the couldn't wiggle his tight buns out of this auspicious occasion. That sounds like me. I couldn't get out of calling, right? couldn't wiggle out of it. The amount of like references to people here, like, it's fantastic. I liked the Braille too. Braille the dancers. Braille the their musculature so you can feel it. That's such an interesting detail. There's just so many wonderful references, and it really brought things to life. That dedicated orange socks stomped till poetic excellence resounded like the nimble tap dance poetry. I love that. This just has such beautiful details, and it's like a silly kind of humor while also sounding very regal, and that's difficult to do, so I loved it.
Oh, absolutely. And the reading, he pulled it off with that regal voice. That was excellent. And I really enjoy how this was a tribute to Rex, you know, at those end lines of the mention of his tap dance poetry of Intimidus Rex Esquire. But I really just thought it was great how there was such wonderful humor throughout this. I mean, you know, even the declaration of the queen declaring that the troops shall dance for Intimidus Rex. I too like the Braille the dancers, dear Margaret, Braille their musculature. That whole idea of just let's feel up those muscular dancers. What else? Well, there's just something great. This thus ungowned, albeit orange socks, river dances on stage boldly rose to the occasion. That was, I think this is just, I've seen Eric's humor before, but to me this was just such a stunning example of how he can really bring it. And that whole idea, Rex, of you just sitting around that table with all those famous people, I mean, I could totally see you holding your own. That was, to me, a great nod to you. So, excellent, right? Very fun. And what do we got next, Faizy?
Our next poem is by M.K. Rock, also known as Mindy, and we have an audio for that as well.
Good evening. This is M.K. Rock for Fluff and Stuff Headline News on ITD. Nurse Brigetta Bunny bristled, x-rays and cathartic cabbage cocoa clasped in her paw. Mr. Stray Puff Stan, a covert coney in cell A1102, post-MRI scan, has earned a first psych review. No snips, tucks, diet ducks, nor dissolve a lump pet-ish. Cures 3-bag-a-day habits, a peep marshmallow fetish for rogue Easter rabbits. Cottontail Pete, a.k.a. the Fluffy Starker's Flasher, headline reporters dub his powder puff arse. Whiskers shifty, but two fleet lucky feet. Campfire girls he'd mug, then outrun on the street. Yellow chick mallow glitter, saccharine sparkling tells, crystalline evidence littering, springtime's grassy nails. pastel mosaic eggshell shards trailing in drafts of this rotund, flop-eared confectionery thief, while children wail for return of their dulce-favored sweet. I witness news hawks, hourly bulletin alerts, public decency defiled, basket order just desserts. Fugitive last glimpsed in flapping lab gown retreat, pudgy hiney bouncing to speckled skies, sporting penitentiary orange stocking feet. End poem.
Oh, I really liked that. I'm glad Mindy was inspired. She has so much fun wordplay here. I like that she combined an Easter theme, the Easter bunny getting in trouble with the whole streaking thing, and Mr. Stray Puff Stand, a first sight review. I like that wonderful wordplay, wonderful kind of alliteration, and I like that she brings in imagery that you would think would be like this innocent child poem, and she puts it in a style of reading it like a news report on this bunny that's on the run. Eyewitness news hawks, hourly bulletin alerts, public decency defiled, basket order just desserts. That was also a wonderful wordplay. Pudgy hiney bouncing to speckled sky, sporting penitentiary orange stocking feet. I like that she fits in the orange stockings and the streaking and all that stuff that was inspiration from Rex's Loon Rite, but adds her own touch into it. So this is just very cool. I really enjoyed this. I did. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it, too. I love that she did it as the news report. And she sounded so convincing. Like, her voice works really well for that. I was like, she should do the news. It was so fun the way that is described, the Mr. Stray Puffed. Where is it? There's something about his bum that was, like, hilarious. The Powder Puff Arse. But there is another part, too, where he turns around and, I lost it. But there's another part where he's kind of, like, wagging his tail, and it's just really cute the way that it was worded. Whiskers shifty. You can picture the way that he's, like, a little bit sketchy, even though he's a cute bunny. the flop-eared confectionery thief. Like, the flop-eared is a nice detail, too. Where is it? Here we go. My favorite line is, public decency defiled, basket order just dessert. The double meaning of just desserts, like the karma of it, but also because they're talking about, like, Easter chocolates. So the just desserts works really well. And I also like the alliteration of decency defiled. The idea that this is a news bulletin, but it's so adorable. And I found the part with the butt. The pudgy hiney bouncing to speckled skies. I love that.
Yeah, that was the part.
The pudgy hiney with the flapping lab gown. That's just, it's so adorable. I, like, can't get over how cute this is. But, I mean, like, it's naughty at the same time as it's super cute. And I love that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Absolutely wrong, Phasey. There is nothing cute about these bunnies. These are some down and dirty, dark rabbits. Some bad mamba jambas. No, I think Phasey just nailed it. I mean, that's the humor of all of this, is the fact that it's taking a news report and making something that's so cute and fluffy as a bunny and making it so hard. So that's the irony, and that's why I enjoyed it so much. I think as a tribute to Rex on this whole contest, I want to say that I appreciate that so many people have submitted SoundClouds, because it's one thing to write it, we can all interpret it, but I think every single poem that we've heard tonight, and there's been so many of them, we've been fortunate enough that people have taken the time to express it themselves, and it adds a whole other layer. I mean, this was
MK, I loved it when I read it when I myself, but the performance tonight was even at another level to me. So echo what Fazy just said, and really loved every part of all of this.
Absolutely. And you're right. I was very fortunate tonight. We had a total of 8, I think, recordings, 7 or 8, something like that. And it just goes to show that people, even if they couldn't actually physically be here, wanted to be part of the show. And you're right, her performance just really brought it to a new level. And Rex, your thoughts?
Start with the title, Fluff and Stuff Headline News on ITV. A great lead-in, but she's gone from HR Puff and Stuff to Alice in Wonderland Fluff and Stuff, which was a great play. And rolling it with the Easter theme was a nice touch, too. But getting into the thievery was a great way of rolling it. Cures 3 bag a day habits, a peep marshmallow fetish of rogue Easter habits, Cottontail Pete, a.k.a. the fluffy Starker Splasher, headline reporters dubbed his powder puff arse. And the next one, I got a kick out of that one. Whisker shifty, but 2 feet, 2 feet lucky feet, campfire girls he'd mugged at outrun. Treat yellow chick mallow glitter, saccharine sparkling tells, crystalline evidence glittering, springtime's grassy nails. And then again, rolls right into the next year, pasta mosaic eggshell, and has fun with that one. And then right back into the Eyewitness News Hawk hourly bulletin alert, finishing out with the penitentiary orange stocking feet. I think, like, Casey, Mindy's just created her own bit of fun to draw on and have an angle to run across the ages and have some laughs while she's doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could tell Mindy had fun with this one. Great comment there, Rex. All right. What do we got next, Casey?
I'm going to read one by Incubus 2. So this is Pocket Billiards by Incubus 2. Stood there waiting, masticating, fumbling for more gum. Pockets too long, the feeling strong, his guitar gave a strum. Counting his change, stance rearranged, he thought he had 3 thumbs. The denim tighter pulled all-nighter as he flicked off the crumbs. Hands move faster, rips off plaster, screams and starts to sweat. Pockets turned out, but in no doubt, just why the fabric's wet. 2 old ladies ask shadily, was that hand shandy good? He nods and sits squashing his bits and bends his poking wood.
Oh, great read there, Faziana. I really enjoyed the humor and rhyme of this one. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, that look at the picture. He drops in with it, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's the lead into the piece itself, which is funny. And to drop it right the first, stood there masticating. Okay. Fumbling for more gum. Talks too long, the feeling strong. His guitar gave a strum. He's got that nice slow run to it as well. That lends itself to some really funny moments. The denim tie to pull going by there. He flicks off the crumbs. I do like that ending. 2 old ladies ask shaver, was that ham shandy good? He nods and sits, washing his fits, and bends his poking for it.
Yeah, that part was great. That was. I love how he had all the different kinds of phrases for getting a quick feel. Great comment there, Rex. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
All right. It's late in the night, so I'm going to go ahead and share this little piece, this little gem. One of my best friends growing up in school, college, would pull his little scrot out of the side of his pants and say, hey, look, I sat some gum, and you would look down and you would see a scrotum hanging out. And it was always this joke that you looked at it, right? And so the one Incubus, yeah, those are my friends, right? So out of the beginning, I agree with what Rex just said. I like how Incubus uses the word masticating, which everyone knows is chewing, but most people think about masturbating when you say that, and then fumbling for more gum. Right out of the gate, I knew what was going to happen out of this poem, out of that joke I thought was so funny back in my youth. So anyway, I like how I like how Incubus set the tone without saying it. And then what is it with the old ladies tonight? They're just taking charge of their sexuality. We end with two old ladies just watching the whole event saying, hey, did you have a good time, buddy? Because whatever. I mean, power to the old ladies tonight, Rex. I don't know what the connection is for you, buddy, but no, I very much enjoyed this for Incubus, and I became a follower a couple weeks ago because of this show of Incubus's poems, and I've not been disappointed. This is a great funny write.
Absolutely, I have to agree. Well said there. And Stacey, your thoughts?
I like what Jeremy said about masticating being the starting, because I do know that it's chewing. But when I first glanced at it, I thought it said masturbating. So I get what you mean. Like it tends to be like that goes, your mind goes there. I'm glad I'm not the only perverted person that does. So when I saw that, and I think that is purposeful use of that language, because it gets that in your subconscious to get that's what's happening for the rest of it. The way that it words it, giving so many different excuses to have hands in your pocket, getting more gum, and the change rearranged, and the having three thumbs, the denim getting tighter. Like there's so many different ways that he's describing the same thing. But it works out really, really funny throughout the whole thing. It was hard not to laugh as I was reading it. The old ladies, that is a thing tonight where, they're amused by it. This is very clever in the way that it's worded, and the picture also works very nicely, because it's not like a graphic picture or anything, but in the context of the poem, it works so well.
It really does. You're absolutely right. Like, somebody else could turn that into a serious picture of somebody just having these, you know, profound thoughts. You know, and you're all right, the wordplay is excellent, the use of the word masticating, and then, of course, the use of the word gum, because you just have to change one letter and instantly you're thinking perverted. We actually, one of the towns I live nearby has a gas station called Come and Go, and the cum is spelled K-U-M, and I'm like, I don't know who came up with that idea, but it's definitely memorable. I did like the use of the old ladies. To a lady that shadily, was that hand shandy good? Wonderful use of the word shandy. Great humor, and very well done. All right, what do we got next?
We have one by Time Teller. Do you want to read that one, Pam?
I would be happy to. All right. Room at the Top of the Stairs by Time Teller. There are many things I fear, spiders, snakes, war, and bicycles with broken gears. Such things like heights, its lack of control, crashing a car that turns over and rolls, or sticking my hands using super glue, and oh, mostly I fear dying while shitting upon the loo. There are those things in life I really don't like. Here's an invite for those to hate and smite. If I tell you each thing, then you will know all my bells to ring. So I'm lying right from the start. Beware if you take me into your heart. But I will tell you for nothing. This thing I hate most is blue, because it's dying, shitting upon any loo. To suffer such indignity, where relief is serendipity, the lawyers, I fear, won't make a contract, while therapists haunt me and claim I should extract all that blame inside of me. Please don't tell me die in such a place, ending with a pooling climatic face. It's true. I fear of dying shitting upon the loo. And please, God, if you are to pity me, please forget those times you watch me shit and pee. I know you see it all, and it truly makes me small. But if by chance you are still there, next time I visit the room at the top of the stairs, don't let death take me up with you. Please, not while I'm shitting upon the loo. End poem. Oh, that one. I did enjoy that one. Very cool. Very cool. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, there is that note, that one repeated end line. Let's hit on that. Hey, you know what? It really is bad dying while you're taking a dump. Because not only do you get smelling, but you actually leave the store smelling because somebody's got to fetch you. And it really is a sore smell. I don't want to go out like that. Hey, let me go out in the woods. Let me bury me. At least that's provincial. I can go up that way, a little mauve maybe, but at least I won't be smelling of my own.
Right? So true.
It comes off as almost a prayer, admitting to the things that don't have control over and that you fear, but offering up that one lone, mostly big thing that you fear, and that's dying on the pot and running with that as a joke. But to it does hit with the most superb ring of dying with no dignity at all, sitting on the throne, pants down around your ankles, and, oh, yeah, think about rigor mortis. He won't go into stress that way.
Oh, my gosh. Now, there's a thought I hadn't – there's something I hadn't thought of. Wow.
And was it because of the push? A sudden heart attack right then? Right there in mid-squeeze?
Oh, man.
I be going to the table. And I just off myself.
Great comment there, Rex. And Jeremy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like how it comes at you as a shock in the first. Because it's a very serious poem as a build-up, and then there's that last line of the first, and you kind of go, wait a minute, what is this about? You're worried about what? And then it gets serious again, and then it repeats. The theme repeats of dying about pooing on the dying while you're pooping. And then that's when the poem kind of relaxes, because you realize that, okay, this is a joke, because it's serious, it's a joke, it's serious, it's a joke, and then you kind of realize, and the fact that it's a repeated line lets the poem evolve into that lighter-hearted feeling. And as a side note, I had this happen to a buddy. He got really sick. He had some health problems, and he passed out on the potty, and the paramedics came in, and he goes, it's the worst thing ever. So as I'm reading this, I'm going, yeah, I've got someone that experienced something very close to this, and it's got to be the worst. And now I have a problem. Now I'm worried about it. So, no, I think it was – I like the fact that the humor kind of – it's an evolving humor, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And I think you – and you can see that in the last – in the last stanza, all the seriousness is let go, and it becomes more of that – the humor of the whole piece. So I like the evolution of it, and I like how it kind of creeps into you.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you that the repeating line really added to the humor. And I like how there are points where it seems very serious. Like even in the beginning, like the crashing a car that turns over and rolls, this is all something, okay, this makes sense to be afraid of. And then it goes into the repetition of the craziness of just having that constant fear dying while shitting on the loo. And there's something, though it's dark, but it's just absolutely clever and funny. And Aphasiana, your thoughts?
This reminds me of there's this movie, it was a Ewan McGregor movie a long time ago, I think it's called Big Fish, and there's a fortune teller who tells the one kid when you grow up, you're going to die on the toilet. And then he's always afraid to go to the bathroom. And then he does die on the toilet. And after watching that movie, I was fairly young when I did, I was scared to go to the bathroom because for some reason I was like, that's where you die. Which is ridiculous. So this just made me laugh at myself because I was like, remember when I watched Big Fish and I thought that was like, you were going to die on the toilet. So this was really funny, but I spent a lot of time laughing at myself because of it, so I got a little distracted, but yeah, well done, Time Teller.
Yeah, that is absolutely the best when a poem makes you laugh at yourself. So, you know, I think what I'm going to do is we're not going to try to put up one more poem. We're going to have the recipe carryovers for the next dark show. So the next dark show will be these carryovers and some other dark show carryovers that I have. I'd like to take time to mention that people should check out topic boards and contest shows or contests put up by our Late Night Poets hosts and hostesses, particularly for this upcoming week. Make sure to check out Rex's contest for Rhythm and Rhyme, a Sunday show. Give Us Your Offspring, featuring music and lyrics by Offspring. And then check out my contest for The Art of Seduction, Twisted Tuesdays, and After Midnight with quotes from Stanley Kubrick and Break On Through, Lenore Finneyard. So there's plenty to check out. Plenty, that's for sure. Thank you, Aphasiana, for being here and for posting links and helping out. Thank you, Jeremy, for being here. Appreciate you both. Rex, I think I pretty much speak for everyone when I say we all love you. And, you know, it was just a great show tonight, great fun, you know, and, you know, just really great to just celebrate and, you know, have fun together. And, you know, I just lots of, and thank you to everybody who wrote for the show, who is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And, of course, thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you to Eric for hanging on the board. Very cool to see him there. And, yeah, like I said, just make sure to keep an eye out. But now, Rex, I know usually at the end of my Friday shows, you don't say a whole lot, but since this show was for you, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Wonderful show. I had a blast. A lot of fun. Even with all the shade thrown my way, it was a great evening. I had a blast. And
I'm glad.
Thanks to you, Jeremy, and Aphasia for hosting, and everybody who generously donated their time and their words to have a little bit of fun in the meantime as well. Humor, there's not enough of it in the world today, and there's got to be a lot more of it in order to make things work properly.
Absolutely.
Happy
right,
birthday,
everyone.
Buddy. Happy birthday.
Thank
we
you,
love you, buddy.
You.
Happy belated birthday. And thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.